I'm here to talk about a game. In Google, most SRE teams will run a weekly outage game scenario type thing. Different teams will call it different names. My team calls it Wheel of Misfortune. The ads team calls it Wheel of Poverty. I've heard it called a Walk the Plank. For the purpose of this talk, I'm going to call it the Outage Training RPG. So I've defined my term. The reference material I could find on this comes from the SRE book. A role-playing of theoretical disasters as a group to intermingle a team's problem-solving approaches. One of the original SREs is quoted as saying, a victim is chosen to be on the spot in front of the group as a scenario, often a real one, taken from the annals of Google history, is thrown at him or her. The victim tells the host what he or she would do or query to understand or solve the problem. And the host tells the victim what happens with each action or observation. So, mechanics. We need a victim. Typically, it's going to be the next engineer to join your on-call rotation. So often a good idea to rotate among many if you've got candidates. A dungeon master who will run the scenario. Scenario itself. Typically, you want to have a situation where there's a wall around the victim so that they can't just say, I'll ask Bob. No. Bob is typically at an offsite, subject to an earthquake, been hit by a volcano. My favorite is bubonic plague. But this will then change. If the progress of the victim is not where we want it to be, the bubonic plague will be cured. If we're doing it well and we've got a one-hour slot, we'll typically finish after about 30 or 40 minutes and then debrief. Why would you run one of these things? This is my answer. It may be an incomplete list. It gives you an opportunity to accumulate experience more quickly and to tap the knowledge of other engineers. Gives you fluency in the mechanics. I've seen a global outage that was made worse because it was an engineer's first major outage and he didn't know how to do ACK to all pages. This is something we do now. Another thing that I'm quite conscious of is that being on call is quite stressful. And from what I've spoken to with people, different people have an optimal level of stress for optimal performance. So I think about an immunization effect. But of course, it's not really like that. You don't do one of these games and suddenly don't ever feel stress again. So another way of thinking of it is as a training load. You know, if you imagine a four-year-old self, you couldn't pick up the suitcase that you probably took to the airport when you came to Dusseldorf this week. But through a series of growing stronger incrementally, you got to the point that you are now. And this is one of the things that I think is quite important for engineers. I'm going to take an aside and talk about one of the ideas within Google, which was a study we did on how effective teams work. The paper that was published a couple of years ago said that there were five things that were important for teams to work well together. The most important factor we consider to be psychological safety. If you're not, don't feel able to speak up, you're not going to speak up, or you're less likely to speak up. The second most important was dependability. If you don't trust your team to deliver for you, again, your team is not going to work for you, and you're not going to work as well for your team. Clarity and structure. If you don't know how the team is supposed to work, again, your expectations aren't going to be met because you don't really have expectations. If the work of the team isn't meaningful for you, you're going to have less job satisfaction. And finally, the term for stuff that changes Google, the term of art within Google is impact. And it's interesting that delivering value for Google is the least important of these five factors. For the outage training game, I think that having psychological safety is critical. And one of the things that I would suggest that people use if they are in Dungeon Master role is basic facilitation in a single line. Say please, say thank you. You know, whatever someone says, nod, say thanks. People will appreciate it. You'll get more engagement. You know, you're like, there's a problem in a data center in Holland. Someone says, I'll nuke it from orbit. It's the only way to be sure. Thank you. That's interesting. So if we're trying to run one of these sessions well, what are we trying to achieve? I guess the highest goal we have is a high-value training experience. Secondarily, and this again is my opinion rather than something that's been proven, is a calibrated stress load. For people who've been around for longer, it makes more sense to give a more difficult scenario. I think that's basic common sense. We want to the team to survive the experience. So if at the end of it you've had to pull two people away from a fist fight, you're doing it wrong. Finally, it's like any training exercise, participation is important. You want to get engagement from as much of the group as you can. And this is hard when you have really two key roles. And finally, you want the use of the time to be effective. The cost of an engineer hour is non-trivial. And if you have 5 or 10 engineers in a room, that's actually a significant amount of time if you start totting that up. So I'm going to go through some anti-patterns. Anti-pattern the first I call the trial. The trial is a novel from the earliest 20th century where a man is arrested and taken for interrogation and then put on trial, and he doesn't know what on earth is going on, and nor does the reader. I spent 3 months not really understanding how Wheel of Misfortune was supposed to work. You can have a situation where the victim and the dungeon master know exactly what's supposed to be going on. But your latest noogler does not. The newest engineer to the company does not. So I find it important to spend 10 minutes at the beginning of each session, if it's the first session for a new member of the team, to say, this is what we're doing. Okay, there is stress associated with it. That stress is good. Okay, provided it's working right, that stress is good. So it's possible this is happening in an SRE team near you. The solution to the trial is to discuss the fact that elevated stress is a goal of the exercise. Discuss that trainees are not expected to know everything, that if someone solves the problem perfectly, the dungeon master has failed because the training has not actually taught anything. The second anti-pattern I call the Kobayashi Maru test. For those who don't watch Star Trek, In The Wrath of Khan, Kirk is known to be the only person to have defeated the Kobayashi Maru test. One of the teams I've been associated with had a particular problem with antagonistic traffic, and we didn't have a good answer for identifying it. So we ran it for a Wheel of Misfortune about once every 3 weeks for a year. What was the point? What we should have been doing was saying this was an unsolved problem in the playbook. What we should have been doing was fixing the monitoring problem. Item the third, I call the spotlight. Everyone's favorite game show, the interview as a spectator sport. Mouse clicking as a spectator sport. Possibly being replayed as an SRE team near you. The antidote to this is, I claim, to split the role of driving the laptop or driving the monitoring and the role of actually making the decisions. This allows you to ensure that the victim is on a path rather than clicking randomly, and it allows less experienced people in the team to ask questions if they don't understand what the intent is. I think it's win-win-win. Another option here is to say when someone says, yeah, I check the jobs, or yeah, I check the resource usage, to ask other more experienced members of the team if they can suggest other ways of getting that information. It becomes less of a spectator sport and more of a participation sport. Doing it wrong, number four. Brave Sir Robin ran away. Avoiding the meeting happens. I've done it myself. I've seen multiple people do it. I would suggest that this is a failure of psychological safety or a failure of meaning, and possibly some of the other factors. When I was preparing for this talk, I talked to experienced dungeon masters in other teams. One of the leading SREs in Traffic SRE was talking about the fact that they have a series of stepping stones for new SREs as they go through their training path, and that they have scenarios gauged for each of these stepping stones. They call them power-ups. And then for someone who's been on the team much longer, a much higher training load, a much more complicated scenario is likely to be used. And more discussion then happens. Another exercise that we've done, although we do it much less frequently, is to do cross-team exercises. Google believes in an incident management protocol. We call it IMAG, or Incident Management at Google. This is very productive because what actually turns out is that different teams, certainly up to 2016, had entirely different incident management cultures. Search was very keen on a low dependency communication protocol, so we were all like, go straight to IRC. The ads teams that we worked with had a more complicated stack, so they were straight to, let's go to a shared Google document for the debugging state that we have. And there were a couple of SREs that had just switched from storage. And when storage has a problem, storage is probably affecting a lot of people. They were like, let's page VPs for authorization for emergency status. And that was very eye-opening. Understanding what the cultures of different teams do, I would suggest, is something that would benefit most teams. Another thing that I picked up from YouTube SRE is that they're very keen in their playbook to show examples of the monitoring for their outages. The standard monitoring system we're using currently provides link to time for different graphs or different dashboards. This is used by YouTube SRE, and Search is looking at it, to use for providing a situation where you can look at a dashboard rather than having the dungeon master say, oh yeah, the green line's going up and the red line's going down. It's a much more interactive experience. If you don't have those links to time and working monitoring, use screenshots. Sometimes there are very simple conceptual models for debugging. For example, in the search retrieval system, the worst case scenario is when a query hits several hundred machines at the same time and makes them all fall over. And we call this a query of death. When we've got queries of death, the search SREs aren't generally very happy. The debugging process for this is typically to look at one of three classes of problems. You can either have a bad binary release, you can have a bad query stream, or you can have bad data. Having your Noogler engineers think in terms of these strong debugging frameworks is useful. Your systems probably have something similar. Another thing you can do with the playbooks is to have a list of ideas that's shared. One of the problems we have is getting new dungeon masters to actually take on the role. If they've got a set of ideas ready for them, they're much more comfortable. Another pattern that I like is having someone trying to transcribe the session so that rather than having a debrief going, yeah, we did this, there's actually a list of steps that people can go through. That's my talk. Does anyone have any questions?
Thank you. If we are talking about RPGs, could we have a simple scenario?
Pardon me?
Could we have a scenario as example at the end of the guide?
Would you like to volunteer to be the victim? That looks like a no.
I think we have a volunteer who's willing to play. We have time. Would you like to try it?
Let's give it a go.
Yeah, why don't you come up on stage? This is going to be very interesting and interactive.
Thank you very much. Wish me luck.
Hi.
So how does this thing work?
I'm Kieran. You are?
I'm Hazel. Hazel, nice to meet you.
Pleased to meet you, Hazel. You're on call for Search Backend.
Cool.
Apparently, the rest of your team is at an offsite in Iceland, and a volcano has just gone off, so they're stuck at an airport with no Wi-Fi.
Well, crap.
and your pager goes off.
Okay. Does the page tell me anything useful? Is there anything in that page?
The page says high rates of crashes in a cluster in Singapore.
In a...
cluster in Singapore.
Okay.
I would recommend the first thing you should do is ACK the page.
That sounds like a good idea. So, okay, got the page, everyone. Gonna get my laptop out. So, I'm assuming I'm at home somewhere, so like not in the office, is that right?
So, for my team, when we're on call, we have a responsibility to be able to reach a keyboard within 5 minutes.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to get
on IRC. So I'm going to get on IRC, say hi, and pull up the monitoring and pull up the alert log. So you said there was increased rate of crashes in Singapore.
Yeah. So we look at the Singapore monitoring, and we see that the proportion of the index that is not being searched is out of SLA.
The proportion of the index that's not being searched.
Yeah, so we would like to have at least 99.9% of the index searched on all queries, and we're averaging about 90%.
Okay, so has the shape of our queries changed? How can we... do we have stats on popular search terms?
We have stats on a lot of things, but first you should probably drain the cluster.
That does sound like a good idea. Thank you. Let's do that. Did that help?
Funnily enough...
did the problem appear somewhere else?
It did not. You now get a page for a high rate of crashes in a cluster in Taiwan.
Can we attempt to determine where the traffic is coming from for these? Because presumably you've got some kind of global load balancing or something. So can we attempt to figure out whether there is a pattern to the traffic that's causing these crashes? Like,
how would you do that?
About Google search stuff, or? I don't work for Google, so.
Would you like to ask Liz?
Hi, Liz.
You may find it helpful to know that when a binary at Google crashes, it typically leaves a tombstone, which includes information on which queries it was serving.
Okay. So how many tombstones do you think we're likely to find? You said there was an elevated rate of these deaths. Are we talking a few thousand, a few hundred thousand? Do we have an automated way of processing these to pull out this information?
So you should ask your proctor that question, because the proctor is the one that has the actual data.
Cool.
So it seems like about 50 crashes are happening, correlated every minute.
Okay, that's interesting timing. Is there anything on the graphs like about any milestones? Has a new release occurred recently? No. Okay.
It's a Saturday. We don't do releases on Saturday if we're doing it right.
Okay. What clients are making these queries? Is there any patterns? Is it a particular type of? Is it like a mobile or desktop? Is it a particular version of a client?
No. But you look at the tombstone, and you see something that says bobwarren.test.superroot is one of the sources of the queries.
You're going to need a little bit of architecture information here, which is that the leaves that are searched, there's an immense fan out from the superroot process he's talking about to the leaves. And every query that it goes through a superroot winds up having to hit a bunch of leaves in order to query them.
Okay, so that string you gave me there, can you repeat that? Something Bob, something Bob superroot.
BobWarren.test.superroot.
Okay, so I hear the word test there. Is part of that the string of someone's query, or is that the name of one of these superroots?
That's the name of a job.
A job. So this is sounding like maybe there's a batch job that's running, because you did say it was minutely. Are these coming from somewhere internal within the organization?
That is a fine theory.
How can we attempt to test or verify that theory?
Kill the job is probably a good option at this point. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was unique and a singular event in the history of SREcon. So, any other questions?
Hi. Earlier, you'd mentioned engaging the whole group. From what I've observed and just seen here, most of the people seem to be spectators of it. You know, you've got the scribe, the DM, and the victim, and experts who are supposedly not interacting because they're in Iceland dealing with a volcano.
So one of the things that I will do is I will specifically say when someone says, I want to look up this, can people suggest at least three ways to do that? And that's what the only way I'm particularly aware of for someone to maintain the dungeon master and victim structure and still engage the more senior engineers during the scenario itself. More senior engineers can then participate better when you get to a debrief, but it's not always the case that we get to the debrief. So I'm flagging this as something that it is not universally solved.
Two quick questions, hopefully. I might have missed it, but do you provide like a run book or playbook, or is that sort of like defeat the purpose? Is it that this person can try and solve this without a run book?
A healthy SRE team will have documentation for failure scenarios. Okay. Not all SRE teams are healthy. One of the things that would be a good outcome from one of these sessions is to find that the playbook is deficient and someone documents the problem before the next session.
Yeah. Now, I'm coming from a background. We're not an SRE team, more DevOps. So we have developers that go on call, sort of like a mixed sort of arrangement. But we want to do this particular thing, you know, but I don't think we'd get buy-in from a number of people, you know, in any one time. It'd be too costly. So I'm wondering, I presume we could do this just one-on-one, like just have one guy who's next up for call, give him a scenario, and he comes back to the dungeon master. So you only have two people involved. Is that okay?
Well, I mean, engineering is a cost trade-off business. One of the things that you're looking at is how quick people can fix a problem. And the delta on that for better training versus the cost of the problem. It may well be the case that it doesn't make sense, but I would doubt it.
We had a question over here.
Hello. So I have two questions. First of all, do you ever do this in a wider scope where the game is not just a single-player game or a single-team game, but a multiple team to mimic thundering herds and other problems that are not going to be single point of failure and require some intercommunication between other people to solve?
We do it about once a year, and that's probably a failure, both a symptom of the structure of the teams, that they don't typically interact that much, and also that we don't have that many common problems that other teams will have that much input in. Search in Dublin has two shards, the people running the web server and the people running the retrieval system. And between us, we can typically handle a Wheel of Misfortune scenario. We've run a couple of scenarios where the interaction between search and ads was problematic. And we've run a scenario where we had a corrupt operating system image. But those things don't happen as often as you would like. you know, to have credible scenarios.
The second question is how you deal with something that can be described as the inception problem. You're doing this thing, and while you're doing that, the game, an actual incident happened. Now, the entire team is already in an elevated stress level because you're, this is one of the purposes of the game. And how do you make sure that they're not being pushed over the limit in this case?
That's not an exact science. I don't have knobs on each of my colleagues where I turn the stress level up and down. If a page comes in during Wheel of Misfortune, we'll just change the scenario to the page. Because, you know, we're there to fix production rather than to, you know, in our priority elevate levels, production is above the training. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I didn't see who raised their hand first, so I'm going to do them in the order I get to you.
Are you tracking the timing as a metric for evaluating how the playbook documentation is good or not?
I didn't catch that. Could you repeat, please?
Are you tracking the timing of the execution of the solution or the approach for the troubleshooting to evaluate if the playbook written, the documentation, is good enough?
I don't think we're actually that sophisticated. We're flying by the seat of the pants rather than being at a high level on the capability maturity model.
Hello. You found the problem and worked around it, but you didn't fix it. You didn't ask why is the thing crashing, why was the test instance allowed to connect to the production one. Can you find actionable follow-up items from doing this work without actually having to experience the scenario?
You've got to remember that the scenario I chose for this was not the most complicated scenario I could run. What I was trying to do was emphasize the point that either it's a stream of queries or it's a release, or typically it's bad shards in a particular data center that will cause problems like this systemically. Could you repeat the question?
In summary, can you generate follow-up work from outages which you only theoretically encounter by brainstorming them in this way?
You can certainly do documentation process work. You can certainly do improved monitoring work. Typically, you're not going to be doing new software releases out of it. But typically, SREs are not writing production software. They're writing provisioning and rollout software and monitoring software. So that would be a no.
Any other questions? Oh.
Thank you. These exercises, are they mostly like what we just saw, just some people sitting around and talking, or is there more of there's a device, there's a computer that people can query? So you mentioned that having some bookmarks for monitoring. So in the typical scenario, are people in front of a computer or are they just getting instructions from the dungeon master?
So typically what we'll do is we'll have someone with a laptop presenting over GVC. And someone will either have a time link to an outage, or we'll have the dungeon master saying, yeah, at 5:05, you know, 2 minutes before your pager went off, this line did this. But what you are doing is having a situation where someone's like, how do I see the task crashes that relate to this change in the error rate or something? And what you come away with is more fluency in understanding the tools, that you're thinking, let me look at the error rate rather than I will move my mouse over here and click. You know, you start clumping the actions into something much more fluent, in the same way that when you're driving stick shift, at a certain point you stop thinking about the clutch.
You talk about the stress that this can elevate when you do these exercises and the requirement for having management buy-in to take the time. What cadence do you run these on typically? Is it a weekly thing?
Weekly.
All right, anyone else? For the recording, the question was, is it the same people or different people each week?
It will depend on the team.
Thank you. And sort of a follow-up question regarding the weekly interval of this. Are also senior SREs put in the, being the victims here, or sitting in the hot chair, so to speak?
So best practice is that the whole team attends the meeting. That's a platonic goal. And again, it would depend on the team.
And how long are those meetings? So it's here, it was 15 minutes or less?
Yes.
Thanks.
Sorry, what was the question?
How long are those meetings?
Usually an hour.
But here the demonstration was 15 minutes, so yeah. It's more complex, or you are adding some part before and afterwards?
Well, you've got to remember that the engineer that was the victim in this case did not have a laptop, wasn't hacking pages, and it didn't seem to me like the best use of the time of the session was to torture her.
If I remember correctly, one of the points of this was also to bring the team a bit together with the shared pain or whatever. But if there's one person as the victim, how does that bring the team together as such? You know, you're torturing the victim as such to give them the increased stress, but how does that help the team as a whole?
We don't do that many meetings where the term for a court that puts all their judges on the bench for a particular decision is en banc. We don't do that many meetings en banc. So it's important that we go through these training sessions together, and that one of the failure modes of junior SREs is that they don't think that they're able to talk to the more senior engineers. People seem remarkably more experienced when you're starting out, and having the chance, giving people the chance to ask questions and get reasonable answers, is just better for the team culture.
All right, I got time for one or two more.
I was just a little concerned about the term torture being used in the this context. I think we do. I mean, we're sort of using the term victim maybe a little bit facetiously, but I don't think the goal is to stump the new person or stump the new engineer. It's, to help them build confidence. So just, I think volunteer is probably more appropriate than victim, and it's not about torture.
All right.